Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Youth Hoops Pod. Chris Goodrum here and your host for today. We're super excited for today's conversation because it's an opportunity to let our trains of thought run from our perspective, Pro Skills Basketball, about the current state of hoops in the U.S., player development, youth hoops focus, and more. Our guests for today have dedicated their lives to basketball from sapling to adult and have a unique perspective on the direction of today's topic. First, Rashid Wright. PSB Richmond director, played collegiately at ODU and professionally overseas for about 13 or more seasons. Sheed, what's up, buddy? Glad to have you today.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Brendan Winters, PSB co-founder and chief growth officer, played collegiately at Davidson and professionally overseas for multiple years and for multiple European clubs. Brendan, thanks for joining us, man.
Good to be here, Chris, as always.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, enough with the introduction. We're just going to jump right in, and I'm going to be a fly on the wall and let these two hoop heads just kind of go back and forth. And we're just going to talk about kind of what we see within youth hoops basketball right now. And then this growing trend of the comparison of European leagues, European clubs versus American clubs, American development, AAU. And so I'll start with you, Brendan, because I know this has been kind of big up on your kind of thought process. Like, where are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I feel as though we're trending backwards or trending down here in the U.S. It hasn't been, I think it hasn't been a fast thing. I mean, it's been a slow thing. So it's been happening for more than a few years now, but like, I think now we're starting to see the impact, just with the rise of the international players in the NBA. And, which I don't know if you can frame it as a decline of American players or just the rise of, the international players, either one, but I think the prioritization of games over development, over practice, over everything is kind of starting to get out of control. I mean, we have, I think, kids and parents that are upset because we are not playing every single weekend. Like, we're playing every other weekend, but they want to play every weekend. And it just feels like it's a bit more out of control than it ever has been. I don't know. What do you feel, Rashid?
Well, I've been home 7 years from France, and I think that that's one of the first things that I saw. Like, when once I kind of got out into the AAU world, I was like, "We're doing this wrong. We're doing this wrong." And the very interesting thing about it is, like, during the Dream Team era, around that time frame, so I guess that's early '90s. Once the Dream Team went around the world, we coaches overseas to teach these European clubs what we knew about basketball. They took that and have expounded upon that in their clubs. And the reverse has happened here in the United States. We've become much more focused on winning tournaments, winning games, social media love, highlight reels, and you go to these AAU tournaments and people can't pass the ball to the left hand. They don't know how to jump, stop, and pivot. They don't know where to be on the floor. And so that's why I'm excited about what we do. And I view us as trying to bring that European club model here in the United States, because development is something that is that's being put on the back burner, and everybody is now trying to find something to feel, to make them feel good, instead of actually going through the process of developing.
I guess, you know, all three of us have kids, and all three of us have kids that play basketball and, you know, hopefully continue to play sports in general, right? And so my daughter plays for a travel soccer club, and it is very much based on development, right? It is very much based on come and get kind of your technical skill work done, come and get kind of your practice IQ done, and then we'll play, right? And it's interesting because what we see and kind of the comparison that we see now is, you know, from multiple people who have said it is, you know, the European model is to what Brendan just talked about, right? Like practice for 6 days, play on one day, right? And the American model is practice for one day, maybe 2 days, maybe. And then play upwards of 5 to 8 games on a weekend, and then rinse and repeat and do it every week. And, you know, it stands to reason, how does a player learn, right? I think we've kind of muddied the waters over the X amount of years in American basketball, where parents and players and coaches think you learn by playing the game. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it's also not right either, because if you don't know how to play to begin with, what exactly are you learning in a game? Like, how are you learning to be proficient in a game if you've never been taught how to be proficient from a fundamental skill set to begin with, right, Sheed?
Let me interject here real quick too. Like, that's what I love about our model, is because we're taking the kind of typical, the AAU piece of it, but then we're taking the skill development piece and we're mixing them together, and we've created this club system, like she'd said, that's similar to Europe. And that was always the idea. When we started Pro Skills, it was just, we weren't even going to do teams. All it was like, hey, let's go back home after Logan and I retired from playing overseas, and let's just do skill development, training, academies, camps, clinics. Let's do that full time. And then we had that group of parents beg us, like, hey, can you do AAU teams? And we said, okay, but we're just going to put the skill development stuff within that system, and we're going to do it that way. And actually, that's a great model, because then, like Chris, like you said, you get the skill development piece and you get the gameplay piece. Sorry, Sheed, didn't mean to take it away from you.
No, not at all. I agree with that wholeheartedly. The same thing happened to me. That's what I wanted to do. When I first came home, I was just focused on skill and development. That's it. Speed ladder, like footwork, like, especially when they're young, learning how to use your body. And then the same thing happened. Parents asked us to start teams, and we were like, okay, we'll start teams, but we want to add this. We can't do the teams without this developmental piece of it. And one of the things that we do here in the United States that I think does not serve our kids in the long run is when they start playing basketball, and this is no knock at any entity, because to me, anybody that's dedicating time to helping kids, kudos to them. But when they start playing basketball, whether it's rec, whether it's I-9 or something like that, it is geared to give less skilled kids more opportunities and hinder the more advanced kids at that age group. And then once they get to travel basketball in middle school, they have to learn new rules. When they go to high school, new rules. When they go to college, new rules. If they're lucky enough to play professionally, new rules. So essentially, our kids have to relearn every time they level up. Well, internationally, they're learning one game. So by the time they're 16, 17 years old, they've been trained as a pro, quote unquote, for 6-7 years. And so now when you see these guys coming over here, 17, 18 years old, okay, yeah, maybe they may need to get in the weight room or learn the NBA game or whatever. But they're so much farther ahead in IQ and skill set that we're looking like we're behind. And
yep. Sheed, I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, one thing, I've been fortunate enough to go and coach on our international tours the past 2 years, and I have absolutely fallen in love with FIBA rules because of what you just said. Because my son, who played on a U-12 team in London, played the same rules that Luka would have played when he was playing professionally, right? And when I first had to learn about FIBA 2 years ago to take teams over, I was worried that U-12 kids wouldn't be able to play under a 24-second shot clock. They didn't have a problem, right? I was worried that because of how big the lane is, man, they're going to have to really learn how to box out. Didn't have a problem. Right. I was worried that because there are certain times that you can and cannot call a timeout as a coach, unlike in the U.S., you can pretty much call a timeout as long as the ball's not live in the other team's hand. You can call a timeout whenever you want. That's not how it goes in FIBA, right? You have to be really strategic. You have to be really strategic when you can substitute. And so it forces coaches to have to truly teach game situation and game IQ and game awareness, because in America, coaches try to micromanage the game. But in Europe, the players know how to coach themselves. And it's such an incredible thing to be a part of. And so I've absolutely fallen in love with the fact that wherever you are at a certain age, no matter where you're going, you're playing against the same rules. You're playing against the same system versus here. And then, you know, one thing that you didn't even talk about, Sheet, is travel basketball, AAU basketball, whatever nomenclature we want to call for it. But the games and tournaments that we play during the spring and summertime, wherever you go, it you know, it's a snowflake. It's going to change whatever tournament you want, and however many teams they want to try to get in, and however they want to shorten the game blocks and the game slots so they can get more teams in so they can make more money. And it's always going to change. And so you're constantly battling just an unknown from a strategy standpoint.
You know, I didn't even realize this. Did you know this? And I just saw this. It was either on TikTok or Instagram the other day. Someone was talking about zone defense, which we've always said, hey, we're not playing zone defense at the younger levels. I didn't know in Europe most of the time they have rules against that. Like, you're not allowed to play. Like, it's literally a rule. You can't play zone before 15U or whatever it is over there. Whereas here, to your point, Chris, and your point, Sheet, is like, not only is it different rules, but like, you might come up against a fourth grade team that plays zone the whole game. The next team, it's, you know, half man, half zone. And there's good and bad to it. But I think at the younger levels, it's mostly bad, where, you know, so many, I think, coaches take the easy road and just stick their players in a 2-3 zone the whole time. So it's like, again, that just goes along with kind of the different rules, or you're entering a tournament, you don't know what you're going to get, or maybe it's a rec league or a AAU league or a tournament or a high school. It's just all different rules. It's all sorts of different styles of play, and it doesn't help player development.
No, and we're so caught up on wins and losses. We're so caught up on wins and losses, and we are less committed to the process of getting better. And I don't always like using my daughters as an example. I have four daughters. One is really good right now. We'll see about the other three, but they all go through the same process. I don't want to say I don't care if they win. I don't think that's a true statement, but that's not the goal. At right. 11 years old, 10 years old, 9 years old, the goal is not when they win the game. Do you know what to be in transition? Do you know what to be on the weak side of the ball? How good of a ball handler are you? What does your shooting form look like? Do you know how to play with your teammates? Can you cheer from the bench? Like, you know what I'm saying? By the time you're 15, 16, 17, and you really love this, now we can talk about a higher level of what that may be. But for me, at one point, I used to view myself as a basketball player. It was everything that I thought I was. Now at 43, and even before then, like as I got to the end of my career, I started to realize that basketball has been a tool to help me learn a different language, to help me travel the world, to help me connect with people, and right now to help me connect with kids. So we know the majority of these kids are not going to go play college basketball, and even fewer are going to be pros. But they still can learn how to be good teammates. You have to be a good teammate in your life, how to communicate, how to sacrifice, how to be disciplined, how to work hard, how to develop self-esteem and confidence. And I think that as youth basketball experts or coaches or professionals, that's our goal. Our goal, if the kid does not go play college basketball, he is a better business person. He is a better father, better mother, better family member because of what they learned through basketball. That's why I call it life school. And it's frustrating for me at times when we like throw all that out the window just to say, hey, we pressed the team. We pressed the fifth grade team for 40 minutes and we won a trophy. And I'm like, that's cool, but what do we teach the kids?
Yeah. And you know who it hurts the most is the quote unquote, I think, elite side of the youth, because they're the ones that travel the most. They will travel from out of city or out of state to go play for another team. And so then they only end up playing in tournaments. There's no practices and stuff. And those are the the kids that typically will go on to play at the higher levels, and they're the ones getting hurt the most out of it all, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so for the listener, just a couple of numbers, right? So at the start of opening night 2023-24 season for the NBA, there were a record-breaking 125 players born outside the United States, right? And Mike Bray, assistant coach at the Hawks, former Notre Dame coach, predicts that there'll be over 50% of NBA will be internationally born by 2029, right? So 5 years away. And that's a wake-up call. That should be a wake-up call for anyone who loves the game of basketball, not anyone who wants to play in the NBA, not anyone who wants to go on to play to college basketball. Anyone who loves the game of basketball in the United States is, man, how do we shake things up, right? How do we change the culture to fix this and to kind of reassess why we're doing this, right? When I talk to parents about playing for Pro Skills Basketball or playing for another organization, I'm not above talking to parents about what's best for their child. That's, you know, there are better options based on how good a kid is, right? And, you know, so one of the things that I talk to parents about is, well, what is your perspective of basketball? What's your child's perspective, and what do you value, right? And I think for us, it's important for parents, players, and coaches to understand that we value development above anything else. We want to win. There's no competitive bone in our body that doesn't want to win, but we want to win the long-term game, which is, hey, can your kid develop? Do they love the game of basketball? And I guess for you two, because again, we're all parents, not where do we start, but how do we help push it even more to our players, to our parents, to our coaches? How do we start getting people on board with this thought?
Well, I'll say this, and this is to any listeners who are parents especially. I got cut in seventh grade. That came with tears, that came with crying, that came with not sure I wanted to play the game. But I also was a McDonald's All-American nominee and a one shooting guard in the state. And I went on to do a lot of great things. Adversity is what comes with development. Your kid is not going to be smiling every time they come home. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be some confidence. Learning how to be confident is not just a one-stop shop. It's going to be some looking within. It's going to be some teams where they're not the best player on. It's going to be playing on teams that don't win all their games. They're going to be playing for coaches that could be tough for them. It's going to be playing with teammates that you might not see eye to eye with all the time. That's part of the journey. There is no perfect solution where everything is roses and there's never anything to worry about. And I think a lot of times what parents are doing, instead of pushing their kids through the process, like Under Armour says, there's only one way, is through. They try to find, where can I put them where they're going to be happy every single time? And all it does, it just ends up running into the same spot where they have to self-reflect and go through that adversity. So that's what I would say is like, if you want your kid to be successful, the younger they are learning to deal with adversity, the better they're going to be in the long run in life.
Yeah, it's funny. I talk about kind of conversations that I have with parents a lot. I was talking to a parent the other day just about travel basketball, club teams, things like that. And they made the comment, yeah, I'm just going to let my child figure it out, right? And so we're talking about a kid who's middle school age. And I was kind of taken back because I feel like that's a common response a lot these days is I'm just going to let my child figure it out, or I'm going to circumvent the learning process and kind of run over and stop that pain or frustration from happening. And I made the comment to the parent, right? Like, well, do you let your child decide if they should go to the dentist or not? Do you let your child decide if they should eat vegetables or not, or eat sugar or cereal for breakfast or dinner? Do you let your child stay up all night? Do you let your child not go to the doctor, right? Like, as a parent, we have to force our kids to do things that maybe they might not like, but we know is ultimately better for them in the long run. And I think we, you know, to the way that you just framed basketball being life school, we as parents need to shift our perspective on how we use the game of basketball and the experiences that our kids are getting through the game of basketball as a form of child development, right? And so it's not, I'm just going to let my child make the decision. No, no, no. I'm going to be a dominant factor in what my child does, whether it's sports or not, because I know what's best for my child. It no different than it's time for bed. You need to clean your plate. I don't care if you don't like this food. You're going to finish it or you're not going to eat anything, right? Like, you can go to bed hungry. And so I, like, it kind of took the parent back, because I'm serious about this. It's something my wife and I talk about all the time, is like, hey, there are times for us to be parents and time for us to be friends with our kids. When it comes to their development, I'm not your friend, I'm your parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Chris, to your question about how do we change? It's going to be hard. But it's going to start with education of coaches and education of parents. Mm-hmm. Starts there, and then it's up to the coaches and the parents especially to relay the message to the kid, to make choices for the kids, up to a certain point, but do what is best for them. But the parents need to know why that is best. And, you know, to your analogy, it's like if you say to your kid, eat whatever you want. Well, like, it's going to be Oreos, Doritos, like, it's going to be snacks, like unhealthy food. They're going to make themselves sick. They're not going to be healthy. Like, no, you got to eat your vegetables and whatever it is. Like, as a parent, you're making those choices for them. You're forcing them to do what is healthy for them. And we need to educate. And it's hard, because one thing that kind of drives me a little crazy in basketball is, for whatever reason, maybe because it's a popular sport and parents and coaches, you know, watch NBA, watch college, everyone kind of thinks they're a basketball coach or they know what's best, and rather than listening to the experts and listening to Don Showalter from USA Basketball, one of the best top coaches, youth coaches in the US and the world, say like, hey, 3-on-3 is amazing for development, and parents say no, I want to play 5-on-5, and it's like, well, we have an expert right here telling you why 3-on-3 is probably better for development, or a useful tool. But then parents say, no, I want to play 5-on-5. I just want to play every weekend, play 5-on-5, or whoever it might be. Gino Auriemma, you know, talking about some of the issues and that, like, we need to listen to the experts, but also, like, we need to help get that information out there. And we need to help educate our coaches, our parents. And then hopefully coaches and parents will see the bigger picture. They'll see the development, because our kids do develop. If they stick with it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, man, they really, really develop. It's impossible not to develop in our system. And so once they see it, then, you know, hopefully some other, I think, coaches, parents, clubs, whatever, will start kind of maybe copying our model or you know, understanding what we're doing and maybe making changes themselves.
And the game is and will continue to evolve. it just is what it is. And I love the game of basketball. When I was playing overseas in France, I hated to hear anything that came from another country that they were better at us than basketball. Like, I'm talking about that still burns me up, right? Like, I competed in practice like a monster with any thought that y'all are better than Americans at basketball. But when I got back home and I looked at this, I was like, yo, we got to catch up. Like we have to do something different or we're going to lose this thing. And the last four MVPs of the NBA have been foreign-born. If you start saying who's the top 10 players in the NBA right now, maybe 5, 6, 7 of them are European born or foreign born. And it's happening right in front of our face. So I think if we just take a step back as people who love basketball and just take a deep dive into where we are in the youth world, it's very clear to see that skill-wise, we need to get better. That IQ-wise, we need to get better.
You know, Sheed, France is a great example too, because they've been sending a lot of players to the NBA. They actually might have the most of any international country. I mean, we can look that up, but I know they've had a lot of success with Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, and others. Mm-hmm. But another good example too is, like, you know, I played in France my first year, and it took me probably the whole year, at least half a season, to figure that game out. Cause, like, yes. I came, you know, we were getting called for travels, fouls, that we were like, what is going on here? I don't even know how to play this game. And it took half a year to a year. And I think, and France wasn't really, I think, my the best country suited for me in terms of, like, that league and stuff. And but I went to Germany the next year and played there 3 years and had a lot of success. And, like, at the time, Germany wasn't looked at as all that good at, like, France was a better league, Spain was a better league. But I was like, I went to Germany. I was like, wow, like, you know, I saw the development of their young players coming up through the academy system, the club system. And now look, I mean, what is it, 10 years later, 15 years later, they just last summer, they just, Germany just won the, what was it? The Euro championships. I guess it was. And so, like, they're coming up in the world, and there's just so much progress being made in Europe, and we're starting to really see it now, but it's been the last, like, 10 to 15, 20 years. I mean, well, actually probably longer since the Dream Team and all that, like you mentioned. So results do take time, but, you know, I think they're trending in the right direction, and we are, the Americans are trending in the wrong direction.
And to piggyback real quick, Chris, I do want parents or listeners to understand what the club looks like overseas. So when you walk into these clubs, at the very top sits the professional team. Up under that, it is a plethora of teams of all ages, all the way down to France, where they call baby basket. My daughter played in that, where they have, like, these little hula hoop things on the court where they don't even dribble. They just jump in it with their left foot, they jump in it with their right foot, and then they shoot a layup. There go your Euro step. We look at that like it's some advanced move. No, they're holding the ball one foot, right? And so we got the chance to see these kids grow. And next thing you know, they go a pro. And they just went through development, and we were getting paid to practice. We're over there 10, 11 months playing 30 games, maybe 35 games. As pros. And so the kids are doing the same thing. And it was an adjustment in the beginning, but on the back end, you're like, hey man, they are mass producing basketball players, and we're behind the eight ball over here.
Yeah. So I had three trains of thought, just while you guys were going back and forth. One was on that club model, right? Where, I think a lot of what does a disservice to players is just the multitude of jumping that happens from team to team to team to team, which is because maybe they don't like the mud that they're in with one team and they want to go try to find something better, but that's not necessarily better for them developmentally, or it's a parent trying to help their child through discomfort instead of just letting them work through that discomfort. The European model is you're a part of the club, right? And that club is an annual experience where they're helping to navigate your proficiencies, your development. And so that's very much kind of why we do what we do within Pro Skills, and why it's a pain point for some parents to understand, hey, why am I committing to 8 months or 11 months? Well, we very much believe in this one club model, that within our ecosystem, your development can be compounded in a positive way month over month over month, the more you're in a very consistent, unified environment that's positive, focused on the right things, versus I don't like it, let's go here, and then I don't like it, let's go here. And then the other piece for the listener who's like, cool, well, the Europeans practice more than they play. Well, their practice is very strategic, right? It's just not static drills. You're not just stacking drills like, you know, a 1970s coach that's first this, then this. They are building an IQ and an awareness by layering drills, doing small sided games, 3v3, disadvantage stuff. But, you know, and then you look at the Nuggets. We went to the Nuggets game against the Hornets, and lo and behold, pregame, their guys are out there doing 3v3, which is incredible to think about, that now that's starting to seep over to the American side. And so just like helping our listener and coaches and parents and players understand, it's not just roll the ball out and hoop at practice. It's being really dedicated and committed about intentional growth at practice, that it's not just, hey, tween, cone drills, but you're really working through one-on-one disadvantage, strength in your ball positioning, strength in your footwork. When you talk about that Eurostep, last year when we went to London, we had one of the British kids play for our U14 team, and that kid was one of the most fundamentally, all I wanted to do was watch him. His footwork in and around traffic, his delayed drag step, his delayed Euro, it was incredible to watch. And I just looked at him and said, yeah, we're 100% behind in how we train fundamentals and footwork.
Go ahead.
Sheed, real quick, because I'd been looking, while we were talking, I was like, I saw this video the other day and I couldn't remember where I saw it. It was a former NBA player who's now a coach talking about how they're in the NBA, they're having to teach guys some of the basic fundamentals that, like, you know, 20 years ago they weren't having to teach. And I finally found it. It was on Twitter. It was Antoine Jameson talking about how they're having to teach their NBA guys how to set proper screens, how to set proper picks now. And it's like, it's not just Antoine, right? It's like, it's all like we've already mentioned a few, like Kobe Bryant, like rest in peace to him. But gosh, man, I wish he was alive for various reasons. But he was a huge proponent of this whole thing about more fundamentals, how Europe is doing it better. And that's part of the reason why we're struggling internationally. And that would have, I mean, he was and would have continued to be such a educational piece of this for the coaches, the parents, because obviously you're going to listen to, you know, one of the top five, top 10 greatest players of all time when they're talking about it. So it's just more people are going to continue, I think, to talk about it, and hopefully people pay attention. But it's actually really funny listening to it was Antoine Jameson. I'm going to play it real quick, and hopefully this works, and hopefully you guys can hear it. Tell me if you can.
A friend of mine, I had him in Cleveland. I congratulated when he got the job, and he was like, Tor, I'm teaching them how to set a proper screen. And he's not talking about rookie. He's talking about guys that have been in the league for 2 or 3 years. And I'm just like, no, we learned that in college. Fundamentals, yeah. Things of that nature. So cool. The game of basketball has changed. I mean, imagine us playing in today's game. Jamal Mosley, so that, a friend of mine, I had him in Cleveland.
That was the little clip of Antoine talking. I guess Jamal Mosley's the one that said it to him. But it's really interesting that it's, I mean, the NBA coaches are seeing it every single day now.
Yeah, it can be an uncomfortable conversation, I guess, at times. But change is not easy. Like, if you want to lose weight, if you want to gain weight, if you want to, it takes reps. I was just talking to my high school team about this. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I listened to a guy, Myron Golden, and he said something that when things are challenging, you either make excuses or you get better. And a lot of times, excuse makers are just not willing to put in the actionable items to get better. And it takes time. It takes time to be a good screener. Getting better is boring. I say this all the time. To go and do the same thing hundreds of thousands of times, it's no fun. It's no lights, camera, action in that. It's lights, camera, action, and the result after that. And that's the process that we are committed to. If we have, if our teams are not winning games, that doesn't make that team a failure. At the end of the summer, at the end of our fiscal season, I've seen kids improve on teams that did not win games, and I was excited like I hit a game-winning shot because I know that kid's confidence just grew, right? That's what this is about. And in the long run, all of this is going to change. We are pioneers in what's happening in this, whether people see that right now. In the long run, our whole game is going to be forced to change here in the States.
So if we were to, wrap this up, Sheed and Brendan, and I know, Brendan, you've got to take off, so I'll let you go first. Just quick, what's your call to action, Brendan?
Education. I think we have to listen to the experts, and we have to educate the parents and educate the coaches. USA Basketball is doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, the NBA hopefully will start doing a better job of it, but I think it all just starts with education. I mean, without us relaying the proper message to parents, and it's not just our message. Again, it's like, I mean, we're taking what we learned. We didn't make up this system. It's not our, it is our opinion, but we didn't make it up. Like, we are taking it from experts and from, you know, from Europe and from our own experience, and trying to educate parents and coaches. So, you know, that is the biggest thing. I mean, it's going to be hard and we're going to sound like broken records, but, you know, we're going to keep at it because we believe in it.
Awesome. Thanks for joining, Brendan. Sheed, what's your call to action, my friend?
Helping people. It's something that I've always been passionate about. And I've been blessed with the opportunity to have expertise in this game of basketball. There've been a lot of great coaches, great teammates, great people who I've met over the years who helped me tremendously. And now I'm just trying to give back in my lane. And so I think it's a blessing to still be able to use basketball to give back. It's my voice, it's my love language. And it's given my life purpose outside of playing now. And so that's my call to action every day. How can I help as many people as I can in my lane of basketball?
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that sport, for me, and basketball in this sense, is a great equalizer, right? It doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter what you believe in, doesn't matter who your parents are. It's an opportunity to create incredible relationships, right? Like the fact that I can call you my friend through the game of basketball is something that no one else can take away from us. And it's something that I want other individuals to be able to experience. And if I were talking to parents, or anytime I talk to parents, it's, hey, be comfortable being uncomfortable with your child. That it's okay if you don't know what to do, and it's okay if your child is struggling, and all that you can do as a parent is learn to appreciate the struggle and learn to talk openly about it with your child. I think we as parents forget how much struggle we had in our life growing up. And I respect parents who want to shield their kids from that trouble, because that's what we want to do as parents. But just imagine you being shielded from the struggle of your life. Are you where you're at right now if you didn't get to experience or have the opportunity to be uncomfortable, be in the mud, be stuck? That's where our greatest achievements and growth happens, is when we're stuck. And so I appreciate this conversation. I think, excuse me, I think it's also important because we have a lot of friends in various areas of basketball, running different programs and different things. And I think it's important to acknowledge there are great programs out there, right? I don't want a listener or someone to be like, there's Pro Skills Basketball again, just thinking they're the best. I do think we're the best. I am biased, but I also know in my role, I have come to know a lot of individuals who are doing things the right way and are great at what they do, whether it's a independent coach, a program director, anyone. There are some incredible programs and coaches out there that are trying to do this in a similar fashion and do it the right way. And I think it's just important for parents to do their due diligence when it comes to what's best for their child and listen openly about what's possible for their child in a certain situation or program.
Yeah. In the words of the great philosopher J. Cole, there's beauty in the struggle, ugliness in the success. But also to piggyback off that last point you made, yes, I say this all the time. I am not the gatekeeper of basketball. I have had my experiences that I believe in. I have been taught, educated, been around the world, back, teaching. I'm an everyday learner. I'm trying to get better at this every single day. And salute to everybody else who's doing a great job at helping kids through the game of basketball. If Pro Skills is not the right fit for a kid, I have no problem, and I've done this in the past, and I will continue to do it, to find another home at another organization if I feel like that is the best fit for that kid. At the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about the kids and putting them in the best position to be successful. We're just extremely confident in the work that we put in to try to be the best at helping the kids and the goal and the mission that we stand behind.
100%. So if there's anyone out there that wants to learn more, please hit us up. If there's another program, another coach that is trying their best to do right for these kids, hit us up. We'd love to support you. We'd love to jump on a call and see how we can help. To everyone else, to all the listeners, to everyone that is in the game of basketball, we appreciate everything that you all are doing. We wish you the best of luck in your journey and in your endeavor. Rashid, my friend, I love you, my guy. It's always a pleasure. I wish we were closer, but I look forward to seeing you. Thank you for joining us.
All love. I appreciate it, Chris.
Yes, sir. Everyone else, remember, stay focused. Leave it all on the court. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.